Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hello, my radio friends. I'm thankful that you have joined us for another edition of Abounding Grace, where we open the Word of God and we consider these wonderful doctrines of grace that God has revealed to lost sinners, by which they may come and have life in this Jesus. So this week we go back to the book of Romans. If you were with us last week, you know we ended in Romans chapter 3, where we discussed all these different ways that people have pride and boast in their salvation, systems that they have created that are really an attack on this doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone. And Paul's been working toward that one fundamental truth in the book of Romans, that there's only one way by which a sinner can be saved: through faith alone, in Christ alone. I want to begin today by asking the question, what drives you as a Christian? What produces a vibrant Christianity? We're all, of course, looking for a Christianity that has meaning for us and for our children. Well, I want to begin this week by speaking to all of us on this crucial issue of what is the important area of Christianity, or what is the driving thing that makes our Christianity so exciting and so powerful. I typically, over Abounding Grace, have not shared too many of my own personal experiences, but today I want to begin by doing that. I want to discuss with you something that happened to me during my college years when I was finally away from home. I, of course, was faced with a choice about where I should attend church. It was interesting that my first choice when I was finally out of the house and left to my own was to find a church, and my first choice was not only a church of convenience, but a church that was exciting. I mean, I wanted the drum rolls, I wanted the praise music, I wanted everything that would excite me as I entered into church. The sad reality is, looking back now as I've grown in the truth of God's Word, was that the Word was never central there. I never heard the gospel preached. I heard a lot of very good moralistic lessons. I heard a lot of principles and steps for doing things correctly. But the sad reality was that I had no discernment at that time in my life to tell any difference and to understand what I really needed the most as a sinner. I continued for weeks to attend a place where I was not being nourished with the one message that was actually able to change my life. I could at least tell my parents that, hey, I was going to church, and this one was even a little more exciting than what I had been in. Well, I'll never forget, my parents had come to visit, and I was excited to take my parents to my new church. Well, that Sunday, the pastor decided on a whim unilaterally to let some guy from the congregation who had done something off in a missionary field just speak a word, and the pastor laughed, well, now I don't have to work next week. And so he didn't preach a sermon that day. Remember, my father looked at me after the service and said, you know, son, I did not raise you that way. My father took a stand and he confronted it. He confronted what I was doing, that it was wrong. Like so many parents today do not do that. They think, well, let them live and learn a little bit. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that was wrong and that I needed to find a different church, a church that was preaching the message of the gospel. When he said that, of course, it was like a ton of bricks smacking me in the face, because he was right. He had raised me in such a way to be more discerning about the truth. And so I said, okay, I will go find a church that preaches the gospel. I found one, and for the first time in my life, I didn't just hear the word preached, I understood it. I have this notebook full of every word that the preacher said. And it was the first time in my life I understood the gospel, and it rocked my world as to how a sinner could be right with God. When the doctrine of justification really grasped me, not just to have it in the mind, but in the heart, I was a new man. Soon after, I decided I want to go tell others about this wonderful truth of how a sinner can be saved from the wrath to come and be declared righteous in the sight of such a holy God. Well, as I went to seminary, I bumped in all these other guys who had the same experience. The gospel had penetrated their hearts, and they were ready to put their lives on the line to preach it. Why do I raise this today as we enter into another week of considering Romans and abounding grace and these wonderful doctrines of grace? Well, every week at seminary, I would gather around the tables with these guys, and we would talk about what we were experiencing as we were filling pulpits around the Southern Californian area. We were astonished at what we were facing over and over, this trend. There was an older generation, the baby boomer generation, of Christians who didn't want doctrines anymore because they were chronically worried about their youth, that these would scare them away. And here we were, all these young guys, saying, no, wait, look at us. We're 22 years old. We're 23. We're 24. And there are hundreds of us who are studying to bring the same news to you and to your children that rocked our worlds, that changed our lives. The only message that really made a difference. And yet how disappointing to us that so many and their children were selling out on the Christian's language. Selling out upon the peculiar status of and separation of what it means to be a child of God and wanted to look so much like the world. I want to be so bold to say today, there will be no true change in you or your children until the doctrine of justification by faith alone takes root in the seed of your hearts. I say that with total boldness, and I say that unequivocally. There will be no true change until this doctrine of justification by faith alone overwhelms your life. The gospel overwhelms you so as to look away from yourself and see that your salvation is in Christ, full and sure. And so I plead with you, don't sell out what you have if you have heard these doctrines of grace proclaimed to you. I live in a city where I think there are many who are tempted to think that these old doctrines of grace are old, let's leave them on our shelves, and let's present something more new and exciting. And I say to you emphatically today, these are the most exciting things that a sinner can ever hear. And so I pose the question today, as we enter into this discussion in Romans chapter 4, what will restore your hearts to the kind of Christianity that will really make a difference? What will make you fight for the front row of worship, like we do for the ball game? What's going to produce in you something that actually has eternal value? Everyone seems to be looking for life in their Christianity. Meaning, let me tell you what it is. It's relishing in the most important message that God has ever given to fallen sinners. You heard me say that last week. Christianity is not primarily about a mode of behavior. That's what all these people are focusing on today. Christianity is about a message to be believed. That's what Abraham's life tells us. And when that message is believed and genuinely in the heart, it produces an entirely different mode of behavior. That message is justification by grace through faith alone. Understanding this, cherishing this language, holding fast to that most blessed truth in all of the scriptures, you will see a life instilled in you and your children that will make everyone else in Christianity today inquire about what's happening in you. Martin Luther once said, "The doctrine of justification is the doctrine by which the church stands or falls." That is so true. History has proven that to be true. May the Spirit then breathe into all of us today His breath as we hear afresh what it means to be justified by faith alone. That's what's before us today and this week. As you know from last week, at the end of Romans 3, Paul gave a conclusion to his main point of the argument. How can a sinner be right with such a righteous and holy God? A sinner is completely dead in his trespasses and sins. Well, in verse 28, he said, "We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." That is the only way a sinner can be right with God. You are justified by means of faith apart from anything that you do or anything inside of you. It is by means of faith in the righteousness that God has provided for you, totally outside of you. Martin Luther used to call it an alien righteousness, a righteousness that is over there, if you will, Christ's righteousness. And God will accept you based on his righteousness. It's a beautiful doctrine. Now, it's as if Paul wants to show us how this doctrine had such a profound impact on two of the most known and respected figures in the Old Testament. I introduced this today by saying, look at the impact it had on me. But, you know, in the whole scheme of things, let's look at two we really know, Abraham and David. How did it impact their lives? How did it change them? In verse 1, the apostle picks up, and we're not going to be able to get very far with this right now, but he says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Paul is posing a very important question here. We could paraphrase the question like this. What did Abraham, our father, discover in his life with regard to how a sinner is right with God? With how a sinner can be in a right relationship with him? Now, the first thing you should notice here is the emphasis on Abraham, our forefather. Paul's reacting to something. Abraham was held out as the greatest figure in the Old Testament. There were a lot of great men in the Old Testament. Moses, Elijah, Daniel, David, but no one was considered the father of them all except Abraham. And Paul is asking here, what did this great figure of the Old Testament discover about himself? He was a sinner. A filthy sinner that Paul's been making the case in Romans 3. And that makes them everyone ask then, how could this sinner be right with God? What Abraham learned is what I learned. What all the Old Testament saints learned. There's only one way. Faith in Christ. Do you believe in Christ? When you come to Christ with that broken and contrite heart, you know what the Father does? He declares you righteous based on the perfect and complete obedience and righteousness of Christ imputed to your account, just as if you never sinned or been a sinner. My friends, that's the gospel. Let's cherish that all of our lives, and you will see an exciting Christianity instilled in us and in our children. Long for this peace that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ brings, we proclaim it each and every week at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Our worship service times are at 10 a.m. in the morning, we're presently going through Genesis, and 7 p.m. in the evening, a confessional series through the book of Romans. We give you a sincere invite to join us. You can access our web at lindenurc.com. 318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for joining us today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.